Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21? Matthew chapter 21, and if you are able, when you are ready, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 12, these are the holy and inspired words of God. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there." And now would you turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. To the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. As we consider it tonight, please help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to come to know and love and admire you more. We pray that you would exalt Jesus Christ in our eyes this night. For we pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me begin by asking a question. Why is it that you are here this evening? Indeed, why is it that you were put on this planet? Is it not to stand in awe of God? You know, sometimes I think that we can come into God's house week after week after week and forget that the reason that we come here is actually to delight in and to stand in awe of God, of who He is. Here's David, and he is in awe of God, I believe, in Psalm 8. As he gazes into the night sky, I think we see that in verse 1 and in verse 3. He's looking up into the night sky, and he is in awe of who God is. When I was younger, my father took one of my brothers and I out into the countryside of Scotland in the absolute middle of nowhere. It seemed strange at the time, but he took us there one night and we simply looked at the night sky. And I remember ever so vividly having that feeling deep down in my stomach, something of the magnitude of God and His creation. And here's David in Psalm 8, and he can only see perhaps maybe 2,000, maybe 3,000 stars. He didn't know that our Milky Way has millions of stars. He didn't know that if he were to count the stars in our Milky Way alone, one per second, it would take him 2,500 years. He didn't know that the Milky Way is so big that we measure it in light years, that a light year is 186,000 miles per second, and our galaxy alone is 100,000 light years. He didn't know that our Milky Way is just one of who knows how many galaxies in our universe, and yet here he is. As he looks up at his measly 2,000 to 3,000 stars, he is in awe. He's driven to worship as he senses something of the majesty of God in creation. Brothers and sisters, in all the hustle and bustle of your lives, don't lose sight of the majesty of God and the creation around us. When you look up into the starry sky, do not forget how immense He is. When you hear the thunder rumble in the distance, do not forget how powerful He is. When you go to the beach and you see the waves coming in and out and in and out, do not forget His eternality. When you see the intricacies of His creation, do not overlook how glorious He is. John Calvin said that we can't even open our eyes without being compelled to behold Him in His creation. And here's David, he's looking up at the night sky and he's in awe. He's driven to meditate upon the majesty of God in creation. And so with that in mind, we come to Psalm 8, verse 1. And verse 1 is very important because it's repeated again in verse 9. Look again at verse 1, he says, O Lord, our Lord. O Lord, that's all capitals, Yahweh. In other words, the eternal, self-existing, all-pervading, absolute, transcendent, immutable, I am who I am, covenant God. O Yahweh, our Lord, non-all capitals, that's Adonai, master, ruler, king, sovereign, ultimate authority, God, O Yahweh, our Adonai. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, your translation might say excellent. I think our Psalter says excellent. That's okay. But I think majestic is a better word, because this word majestic carries the idea of royalty and magnificence. The word for majestic here in the Hebrew is the word adir. And the Bible says that God is more adir than the grandest mountains in Psalm 76. God is more adir than the thunders of many waters, more adir than the waves of the sea, Psalm 93. God is excellent, yes, but he's majestic. He is adir. He is above, verse 1, before, verse 3, behind, verse 3, all of creation. Everything that we see around us is a little DIY project for him. He rules over everything. He is majestic. His name is majestic in all the earth. And when you think of the majesty of God, how can you not think of the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ created everything. All of creation is a display cabinet for his glory. The Bible says that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus created everything. And as king, he rules over everything, every molecule. He is majestic. His name is majestic in all the earth. He is the sovereign God. As a wee boy, my parents used to take me to a beach called Caswell in South Wales. And I remember building a sandcastle, and dare I say it was a great sandcastle. I thought it was good anyway. And it had all these walls and turrets, and it had a moat, and I got all my toy soldiers, my British toy soldiers. And it was a British sandcastle. And I put all my best soldiers, I put on this sandcastle, and I was just waiting, you know, for the tide to come and maybe fill the moat, and then I'd take all my soldiers away to safety. And in came this first wave, and it just glided in the sand, and it smashed my castle to pieces. And all my soldiers were everywhere, and I was scrambling, and my brothers were helping me, and I rescued maybe 2 or 3 soldiers. It was just one wave. I was utterly powerless. I recognized the power of one wave. And you remember the story about the disciples in the boat, and the waves were crashing into the boat. And no doubt the rain was hammering down. The disciples thought they were going to drown. And they said, Jesus, do not care that we're perishing. And he gets up. What does he say? He says, peace. The idea in the Greek there is, shh, be still. And there was a great calm. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, his name is majestic in all the earth. But you know, brothers and sisters, Jesus isn't just a deer. He's not just majestic because he created all things and because he rules over all things. Jesus Christ is majestic because he is who he is. Remember, Peter in his letter says we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. He wasn't thinking about Jesus' creative power. He wasn't thinking about Jesus' creativity. He was thinking about Jesus and his person and his fullness. Jesus is inherently majestic. He doesn't derive his majesty from his creation. He is, that's who he is. He is a deer. He is majestic in all the earth. If you visited the Queen, even in light of this morning's Sunday school message from Pastor Steve, I'd like to think you'd still call her Your Majesty. And I think even that, though, with the queen, there's things that contribute to that respect, that sense of aura. Yeah, you'd be impressed by Buckingham Palace, or Windsor Castle, or Balmoral Castle, and all the soldiers and horses and carriages and all the paparazzi and all that, stuff adds to that sense of aura. But brothers and sisters, what if you were walking down your neighbourhood, walking your dog, and you bumped into the Queen and she was wearing jeans and a t-shirt? It wouldn't be there. That sense of, wow, she is Your Majesty. But Jesus is inherently majestic. He had none of that stuff when Peter said we were eyewitnesses to His Majesty. He didn't have a crown except for a crown of thorns. He didn't have a scepter. He didn't have a palace. He didn't have an army. He didn't have a throne. But most of what Peter saw would suggest that Jesus was not majestic. How would someone dying, bloody and mangled and suffocating on a cross suggest, hey, look at the majesty of God? And yet Peter says, we were eyewitnesses to His Majesty. Why? Because Jesus is inherently majestic. He is the God's man. He is the one with all authority. He is God Himself. You know, I mentioned as we looked at Psalm 7 a couple of weeks ago, how the two Margarets died because James the 2nd and 7th sought to exalt himself above Jesus Christ, make himself the head of the church, as if somehow he could rob Christ of His Majesty. What a fool. James the 2nd and 7th, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is inherently majestic. His name is majestic over all the earth. And I say to you this evening that at the center of Psalm 8 is the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me prove it to you. Look again at verse 2. We'll begin at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Now, we just read at the beginning, Matthew chapter 21, as Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king and he cleared the temple. And the children cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the chief priests were raging mad. And they went to Jesus, do you hear what they're saying about you, Jesus? They're claiming that you're the Messiah. They're suggesting that you are actually the king. And Jesus, in effect, says to them, yes. And then he quotes this verse, verse 2 of Psalm 8. Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. It's the Septuagint version of Psalm 8, verse 2. Now, why did Jesus quote this verse? Well, there's two reasons. I think, first of all, it's being fulfilled. These children are singing praises to Jesus Christ, and it's shutting up the mouths of these enemies of God, these Pharisees. But I think the other reason that Jesus quotes this verse is this. These children are crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, yes, when they praise me, they're fulfilling Psalm 8. You say, well, yes, but Psalm 8 is addressed to Yahweh, our Adonai. And Jesus is saying, yes, that's me. I am the God of Psalm 8. I am Yahweh, our Adonai. My name is majestic in all the earth. Psalm 8, I believe, brothers and sisters, is about the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, there's more here in this psalm. Despite the majesty of God, he takes interest in the crown of creation. He takes interest in you. Look again at verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You see, God is the God of the cosmos. He's God over everything visible and invisible, the galaxies and the stars and all of creation. And actually, God is God beyond the cosmos. He transcends time and space. We are on the line of history. God is outside the line of history. And at the same time as that, we are finite creatures. We're dust on the scales. We are minuscule dots on God's eternal calendar. We're a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. And more than all of that, we're sinners who've rebelled against God. And yet, verse 3 and 4 tell us that God is mindful of us. He is mindful of you. He knows about the intricacies of your lives. More than that, he cares for you. You're not insignificant. You're not inconsequential. He cares for you. He provides for your every need. You are his prized possession. He is always with you. More than that, he loves you. And he has paid the highest price for you, brothers and sisters. And he gave himself for you. And he was mocked and tormented for you. He loves you. He would die for you. Is there a way to miss this? Lord, our Lord, whose name is majestic in all the earth, whose glory is above the heavens, he lay aside his majesty for you. That's what Isaiah says, is it not? He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. We ask the question this evening, how could you do that, Lord? How could Yahweh, Adonai, whose name is majestic in all the earth, whose glory is above the heavens, how could he die for me? How could he plummet to such depths for me? How could he die for me in spite of all my corruption and all my treachery and all my shame and all my guilt? And all we can say this evening is, praise you, Jesus. Thank you that although you are Yahweh, our Adonai, you are mindful of me. And that you care for me even enough to die for me. And yet there's one more thing I want you to see here in Psalm 8. Not only is he majestic, and not only is he mindful of us, and he cares for us, but he gives us this privileged position. Look again at verses 4 through 8. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Brothers and sisters, this is Genesis 1 stuff. God created us in his image, and he made us vice regents over his creation. Don't miss that. Don't overlook that. When I first came to America, there was a man who owned, I don't know, some sort of construction company. And he let me use his bobcat. And when I got home that night, I told Ashley, there was this chap who let me use his bobcat today. And she said, he obviously doesn't know you very well. And the next day, I FaceTimed my parents, and I said, oh, this chap, he let me use his bobcat. And he said, he obviously doesn't know you very well. Some guy lent me his bobcat, and, you know, people were in shock. You? Here's God, and he has made us vice regents. He's entrusted all of his creation to us. Of course, we messed up Genesis 3, and we became slaves to creation. We began to worship the creature rather than the creator, and we don't reflect his image as we ought. And yet Jesus punctured the timeline of history. And Hebrews 2 says, we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels. And Jesus became a man, and he perfectly fulfilled God's will. He perfectly reflected God's image. And then he died, Hebrews 2 says, tasting death for everyone, and now is crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. And what I'm trying to say to you here, brothers and sisters, is Jesus didn't just come and die to rescue us from hell, but in his exaltation, we have been exalted. He has lifted us up. He has restored God's image in us. And now in Christ, we aren't just a little lower than the angels, but we've surpassed the angels. The Bible says that we will judge the angels. And he has crowned us with heavenly glory and honor. In other words, Jesus came that he might share his glory with us. What I'm saying to you is that Jesus, yes, he redeemed us, but he also placed us so that we would share his dominion. If you are a Christian here tonight, you are crowned with glory and honor. And by the way, that word honor could also be translated majesty. So Jesus, whose name is majestic in all the earth, became he who had no former majesty, Isaiah says, so that we would be crowned with glory and majesty. To put it differently, Jesus came and took a crown of thorns, the symbol of the curse, so that we would receive a crown of glory and majesty and dominion. Brothers and sisters, that is breathtaking. So how do we respond this evening to this psalm? How do we respond to the majesty of God? I think we simply just have to stand in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to say, as David returns to say in verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Not just because you created us. Not just because you rule over us. Not because you, just because you condescended to know us and care for us. But also because you laid aside your crown in order that we might be crowned and share in your majesty. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, truly, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic is your Son, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for him, O God. We thank you that he came, that he humbled himself, taking the form of a servant, that he, as it were, laid aside his crown of glory to put on a crown of thorns, that cursed crown, that in his exaltation we too would be exalted and receive the crown of glory and dominion in him. Thank you for him, Lord. Help us to live in light of the glory of the triune God. This week, as it stretches out before us, help us to live for your glory. Help us to seek to reflect something of you in our lives. Help us to look always heavenwards and exalt Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now receive the blessing of the Lord momentarily. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.